We're turning to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, and we're going to read from verse 8 down to verse 16. We have been thinking about Elijah for a number of weeks, and we're continuing on this theme and looking to the Lord that he will show us wondrous things out of his truth. 1 Kings 17, and let's begin at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. We know that God will undoubtedly follow the reading of his word with his own blessing and approval. Let us bow together in a word of prayer. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy holy and precious truth. We thank the Lord that we have it before us. We can read, help us to understand, and our Father to take in what thou would say to us. May we hear the word of God as Elijah did, and as the widow at Zarephath did. Help us, Lord, to have an open ear to hear thy voice, an open eye to see thy truth, an open heart to receive and to understand the ways of the Lord. And O God, give us a will to do all that thou would say unto us. We ask it in the Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. Elijah faced a great crisis. He was out of water. The brook Cherith, his sole and only supply, had dried up. It had dried up as a result of the lack of rain in the land. The drought which had come upon Israel was because of their Baal worship and all the evil practices that were associated with the worship of Baal. And it made for a situation where this drought was acutely felt right throughout the entire country. And everyone, including the ungodly and the godly, felt the brunt of this devastating drought. Though Elijah was a great prophet of God, he was not exempt from suffering, from the privation which the drought brought about in the land, showing to us that good people often suffer when a land is being judged for its sin. It rains on the righteous as well as on the unrighteous. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 14, verse 7, none of us liveth unto himself. And when we see sin in the land being judged, and when we sin ourselves, it causes others, even innocent people, to suffer. And so therefore, we ought to be very careful how we live before God and how we live our lives before others as well. Elijah had been in the place by the brook Cherith. And to move on to Zarephath, that would be about 100 miles northwest of where he was located by the brook Cherith. The town of Zarephath was located on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea in the land of Sidon, as we have read in our scripture reading. That would be the general area of Phoenicia, which bordered Israel but lay north of that land. It was also affected by the drought that had been troubling Israel. And neighboring countries, those that bordered Israel, were affected by this drought just as much as Israel itself. However, in this town of Zarephath, there was a widow, and she was very nearly out of food. And her oil with which she baked her bread was almost done. And humanly speaking, there was going to be nothing left. Now, a widow would have been among the first and probably the foremost to suffer privation in a time of drought in those days in the land of Israel. For a widow's resources were generally much less than that of most other people. And because of her great need, this widow, just like Elijah, faced a life and death situation. She faced a great difficulty. She faced a tremendous problem. And because of that situation which she found herself, she and her son would soon, naturally speaking, be dead. Both the widow, her son, and Elijah needed help. And they needed help in a hurry, as it were. They needed it sooner rather than later. And if they were going to survive, they needed bread and water. But help was available. Help was available from the Lord. And God was going to meet their needs. God was going to help them when they had come to the extremity of their need. These two had been living in obedience to God and in the fear of God, and they had been hearing the word of the Lord. They had been fulfilling their God-given duties, and God heard their cry. He saw their need, and God is about to meet the need of both his people. Obedience to our duty to God is always the best way to obtain help from God. And to be certain and assured that that help will come, a crisis in life can be conquered. Difficulties in life can be surmounted. Problems in life can be solved. And great needs can be met if we will but do the will of God and hear the word of God and obey the commands of God. But alas, few today hear God's word, and fewer still obey God's word, and fewer still do their duty for God as God expects it. And so instead of conquering, they are conquered. Instead of surmounting difficulties, they are overcome by their difficulties. Instead of solving problems, they only make their problem worse and more complex. And instead of having their needs met, their needs only become greater and greater still. With this particular scene before us this morning, I'd like us to look at Elijah going to Zarephath, and Elijah doing his duty in obedience to the command and will of God. The Apostle Paul said in writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 5 and verse 17, he said to the church there, and the Bible would say to Christians today, be ye not unwise. That's a great command, isn't it? God says to believers in his church this morning, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And my friend, if we don't understand God's will, then the Bible describes us as being unwise. And if we hear God's word and understand his will and do it, then the Bible describes us as being wise. How very important is this exhortation? And truly, we see it in the life of Elijah. It is important to seek the will of God. It is important to know the will of God. And it is important to do the will of God. All of these things are important. Some people are not so sure. We can always perceive and know the will of God and know what our divine duty is. But such doubt is only the voice of disobedience speaking. Such doubt is only the voice of the man or the woman who's unwilling to obey God. For you and I can indeed know the will of God, and we can perceive our duty before God, and by God's strength and grace, we can perform that duty and do it to the glory of his name. And our passage of scripture here will help us in this manner of knowing the will of God. And from it, and from these verses, we will learn the important truths of how to know the will of God. You will notice here, first of all, that we perceive and understand the will of God through the Scriptures, through the Word of God. Now, that might sound very basic, but it is something that so many Christians overlook, that so many believers tend not to attach importance to. And so I repeat again that we can learn and we can perceive and we can know the will of God from the Scriptures. That's the first thing. Look at Elijah. Elijah watched the brook Cherith dry up before his very eyes. He watched it over probably a period of time, getting less and less. And he watched it dry up before he moved on to another place. He waited at Cherith until, what happened? Until the word of the Lord, we're told in verse 8, came unto him saying, verse 9, arise and get thee to Zarephath. The will of God for Elijah was revealed to him. How? By the word of God. The word of God came unto him saying, but Elijah was not alone in this experience. The widow in Zarephath also had her duty and the will of God disclosed to her by the word of God as well. For we note in this passage in verse 9 that God says, I have commanded a widow woman there in Zarephath to sustain thee. And when Elijah arrived in Zarephath and met the widow woman, he brought to her the word of God, whose heart was conditioned and prepared to receive the command of God through his servant Elijah. Oh, the great counsels of God are all fixed away back in eternity. The great providence of God is being worked out in both the lives of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. And all they needed to do, both of them, in the midst of the extremity of their situation, was to believe God, was to trust God, was to take God at his word, and to believe that God, who's over all, who is sovereign in every situation, will show his way and reveal his will and teach his word to the waiting heart. My dear friend, this morning, as you sit in this house of God, maybe perplexed or troubled by circumstances, by problems, by situations which have arisen in your life, believe God. He's sovereign, he's mighty, and praise God, in his providences, he works all things for good to them that love him, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let us get a vision of how great God is, of his majestic power, of his holiness, and of his love, and of his compassion for his people. And he loves his church. He loved it so much, he gave his son to die for it. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and me even unto death, laying down his life on Calvary, dying in our room instead. Oh, see how he loves us. See how he has compassion for us. And if the Lord Jesus Christ went all the way to Calvary and laid down his life for sinners like you and me, thank God he'll take care of all our needs, because he watches over us and he careth for you. Thank God, Elijah and the poor widow in Zarephath, facing a terrible situation, her times were in God's hand. Oh, we often sing that, don't we? And we often repeat it. But do we believe it? Have we taken it into our hearts? Have we allowed it to rest there with benefit and profit to our souls? And if you wish to know the will of God for your life, and you wish to perceive the duty that God requires of you, and if you want to follow on to know the Lord, then I ask you this morning to ask yourself this particular question. Are you living your life in accordance with the will of God? Thank God you can know that will of God today. Thank God he is our infallible guide. And he never fails. What we call the will of God in our life must conform to the word of God, must be in obedience to the word of God. Many who want us to think they're doing God's will are acting contrary to the word of God. You take, for example, the believer who knows God's word and is still associating with the apostasy of an apostate religion. That man would want us to think He would want us to know. He would want us to believe and want us to accept that he's doing the will of God. My friend, while all the time he is acting contrary to the word of God. Because the word of God says to him, "Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will be a father unto you, and I will accept you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." The believer who knows that he's committing sin, and he has a habit which he cannot break, and he makes excuses for it, my friend, that person who'd want us to believe that he's in the will of God is only deceiving himself. For if he's not willing to break with sin and to give up all known sin, he's walking contrary to the Scriptures, and he is not living in accordance with the Word of God, and therefore he will not know the sweet will of God. He will not know the peace of God. He will not know the benefits of God's duty in his life. My dear friends, we have got to know God's will according to God's Word, and we find out in the Scriptures what God requires of us. Many who are most persistent in doing the will of God are those who make the word of God prominent in their lives. Elijah was one of those men. He wanted to do the will of God. He wanted to know the will of God. And the word of God was prominent in his life. Elijah certainly was faithful to God's will. But we're not surprised, because even in a previous message here in the Lord's house, we did see how that the Lord's servant made God's word prominent in his life. He waited upon God for his word. He heard God's word. He studied God's word. He pondered God's word in his heart. And he acted according to the word of God. And right throughout the whole story of Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, 19, and right through to chapter 20, 21, we discover that the word of God was very prominent in the whole story of the life of Elijah. The word of the Lord, or a similar phrase, is found repeatedly, as it is in respect of coming to God's servant Elijah. Today, very few people give the word of God much place in their lives. Even churches are that way as well. They give very little place to the word of God. The teaching and the preaching of the word is no longer the main emphasis of the church program in many churches today. They rather put the emphasis on recreation, on the social aspect of living. And like many churches today, they have departed from the Word of God. The Word of God's taking up a less prominent place and a less prominent position, and things are being brought in that are squeezing out the preaching, squeezing out the teaching, squeezing out the word of God. And my friend, that's an extremely dangerous trend. My friend, that is a deceptive trend. For we can remember way back in our early days, in the churches which are now almost outright apostate and unbelieving. Oh, they started with a trickle. They allowed this to come in and that to come in, just in small measures. And they thought, well, it's going to do no harm. But today we can look back and see how it has become, or it was at that time, the thin edge of the wedge. And that wedge has been driven right in and severing them from the truth of God's precious word. Let us, in fundamental circles, be careful that we don't allow coming into our churches that which in 10 or 15 or 20 years' time will cause the wedge to be driven right through and severing us from the teaching and the preaching and the standing for the Word of God. May God give us the grace to say no to all the encroachments of the world, to all the encroachments of the devil, and whether our numbers be less or more, few or many, that God will give us the grace to stand up and to be faithful to the book and faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sadly, that's what is happening in apostate religion today. My dear friend, if we don't know the Word of God, we will never know the will of God. If you don't read the Bible, take time to ponder it in your heart. Take time to study it in your soul. Ask God that it might be applied by a spirit to your life. Then you'll never know the will of God. And you'll become an easy prey when somebody comes to you and says, well, we should do this or we should do that. And we should seek to do some other things. And the church that does it will be the very same, even in its very leadership. In those in the oversight will become weak on their stand on the Word of God. And that's how apostasy begins. And that's how worldliness enters in. And that's how people, young and old, are distracted from the central thing, which is the Word of God. May God keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. May God keep our eyes on Him. And may God keep us ever faithful to our calling in Jesus Christ. And if we remember Elijah and the woman here at Zarephath, you will discover that when God spoke to Elijah, he had to move, as I've said, almost 100 miles northwest of the brook Cherith. He was to go to the place called Sidon. Zarephath was in Sidon. You will remember that a few Sundays back, we did say that that was the place from which Jezebel came. Her father, Ethbaal, was a worshipper of Baal. And surely, if Elijah was to go to the very place from which Jezebel came, we would naturally think he was putting his life in jeopardy. A great danger lay ahead. But thank God that in spite of the power of Ethbaal, a worshipper of Baal, Jezebel's father, and in spite of the powers of Jezebel and Ahab, God can command his servant to go to this place and hide him amidst the enemies of the truth of God. Isn't it amazing what God can do? He preserved that wee woman, the widow up there. And in her house, she was kept and her son. And now here is Elijah coming to her home. And God is caring for them in the midst of such an evil place, of such an apostate place, of such wickedness, both politically, religiously, and socially. Because politically, there was evil in their authority. Religiously, there was evil in their worship. And socially, there was immorality, even as they passed their children to pass through the fire. And prostitution was rife in that area. It was a religious rite. All false religion's a terrible thing. It damns souls, it blinds societies, and causes neighborhoods to sink into the mire. May God ever keep the light of the gospel burning here in Ulster. May God preserve our Protestant heritage and way of life. May God be pleased to shut the doors on the encroachments of Romanism, on the encroachments of every other ism that would creep into our land. May God spare us the darkness that all of these would bring to our people. And may God raise up in these days faithful servants like Elijah who'll take their stand for truth and preach the Word of God. Tell me today, are you listening to God's Word? Are you making the Bible the perusal of your soul, taking time. The Bible speaks about the man who makes haste shall not prosper. And sometimes, my friend, we make far too much haste when it comes to the Word of God. In your private devotions, you make haste. In prayer, you make haste. Maybe that's why your soul is not prospering. Maybe that's why you're wallowing in despair, not knowing the will of God. My friend, we should take time to wait upon God in our own quiet devotions and also in the public worship of God's house. Because it has been known, like Thomas in John chapter 20 is an illustration, he wasn't with the other disciples when Jesus came the first time. He missed out on the blessing of God. There was something for him that day, but he missed it. And it's nearly always the case, even still today, when we miss out on the house of God, we miss the message of God's word. And perhaps the message of that day had something specific in relation to your need. And you missed it. And perhaps the same applies in your personal devotions. You rushed passing over the word of God and you missed the word of God. My friend, let us take time and to make sure that we wait upon the word of God and we listen for the word of God and that we obey the word of God. There's an onus on us, not just to do our own thing in the way we want, but to obey the word of God and to follow the scriptures. And I believe that if there's a seeking heart and a seeking soul or souls today, and you take time to wait upon God and upon his word, God will show you his will and he'll direct you in your duty and you'll not fail in that very thing. There's more to come in respect of the will of God in relation to Elijah, but we'll leave that to another time, as today our time is already gone and we have to draw our meeting to a conclusion. We're going to close by singing hymn number 406. The hymn number 406. Trust that this will be the desire of every heart, even as we sing it together. 406, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. And then it says, more about Jesus let me learn. And then more about Jesus in his word. And then more about Jesus on his throne. And if we want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, learning of him through his word, then we'll know more of him on his throne as he reigns in his rightful place. Not only on his throne in heaven, but on the throne of our hearts as we crown him King of our lives.